This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Is Dirt and Sprague.
Gutierrez will take the corner in towards that back post and a bullet hammer. Lucas Cavallini has the Whitecaps' first goal of the season.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
It's Derek Jones Jr. He's not just a player. He was your guy's top free agent signing, and he's theoretically one of your best defenders. How does he not get in a game like this?
Well, I'm not going to disparage Derek. I just thought it was the best move for the team at this point.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. I am Brandon Sprague. Across the way is Andy Dirt Johnson.
What is happening?
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, everybody. How was the weekend?
Weekend was rather good. I've established my base tan after getting burnt.
Well done. I had people ask me if I got a spray tan this weekend. And I said, no, well, I have not gotten a spray tan. It's just a lot of golf and yard work. What do you want from me? It's been like 80 degrees for three straight weeks.
Because of the burn tan situation where I am having a little color, I'm starting today. I'm going in the tanning bed at the old gym.
You're going to get going today?
Yeah. I mean, I want to be even.
You got to build it up.
Yeah, I don't want to be pasty chest guy with really tan arms and face neck guy like that. It looks like I'm wearing a white t-shirt with nipples.
Have you seen, I don't know if we're going to talk, we probably won't, so let's get it out of the way now. Did you see Stuart Sink this weekend?
I got to be honest.
That's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
I saw that he won. He's won there before, either, yeah. And he seems like a really nice guy.
He's an old bro. Yeah. He's been on the tour for a long time. His son's his caddy now. Cool little story, right? Anyways, the main thing about Stuart Sink is go Google if you haven't. And if you're not driving right now, I would suggest you do it as well. Go Google his head tan because it is a thing, man.
Oh, he's bald, right?
He's bald, and you're talking the tip of the head. Completely pasty white.
Because his hat's on all
completely. Yes. Yeah. And then you go basically from the top of the ear down, and he looks like John Boehner.
Yeah.
Like he's a honey baked ham. It doesn't make it. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? And then his son.
Boehner does look really tan now when you see him in interviews.
Over,
and he's everywhere right now because he wrote a book.
He's all over the place. He's drinking wine, smoking cigarettes. The guy's living a good life. His son is his caddy. And then after, I think it was after the round on Saturday, they, you know, did a little, hey, good round, give each other fist bumps. And he took his hat off, and his son is the same way.
Same thing.
But he's got a long hair, but it still is the same. You look at his forehead, it's like, holy ass, man. Go, like, put a cover over the bottom part of your face, and you got to spread that tan out a little bit, man. You're on national TV.
Yeah, I think his kid will get that figured out. I don't think Stuart cares. Stuart's so established in his career, and he's got enough money. What does he care?
40-something. Ah, what the hell? See, that's the way I am. Now, you run shirtless. You do things shirtless.
I'm
not a big shirtless guy. So my main thing is I want to have the upper arms are big for me to have a balanced tan, which I take care of yard work, cut off tee. That gets the job done. But the chest, it's like, how many times am I going to go to a pool this summer? I'm not flopping around with my shirt off very often. So I don't mind if my chest is a little pasty.
Okay.
Let's also be honest with listeners today that this show, if you're fairly new to the show, we cover all of the big topics, but what we usually like to do in the opening segment is either complain about our lives in the dumb little things that happen in them.
Sure.
Or we like to bring up random golf stories.
Yeah, we do that.
And I have two questions I need to ask you from the weekend.
Okay.
So I went and played a very, very well-established, known course that has hosted events. I will not name the course name. It's one of my favorite courses to play. Okay. I love the style. I love the way it's opened up. I really enjoy playing it. So I went and I paid a decent amount of money, had a nice tee time. And first question is, they just aerated the greens the day before we got there. I never got an alert on that.
You got to look that up on the website.
Well, I never got an email. Mm-hmm. When I signed up for the tee time, it was not made clear that that was happening. And when I talk about aerating the greens, I'm talking one of the worst I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, if you play right in the aftermath of the greens getting punched, it's going to be a struggle bus out there.
Well, let me ask you this. I shot in the 80s for the second time in my life. I had a really good round.
Well done, buddy.
I counted 4 birdies that got knocked left and right Planko style. I counted 5 par putts that got stopped because the groove ate the ball up because the speed, I couldn't hit the ball that hard. How do you judge? And I properly rated my score with my putts, but I had all these putts that I just feel like I hit decent putts. And that green was too aerated.
It is. The more that you play golf, I think the more you will become aware of this happening every year. When I set tee times this time of year, that's the first thing I look on the website is when do you aerate and how long has it been since you did that? Because playing in the like those kind of rounds, I love that the courses do it because it keeps them dry and it's a great time of year to do it.
Those greens are going to be dialed in like 3-4 days.
You give them a couple of days and they're going to be fine. And some courses can like turn and burn quickly and it's only like 4 days and they're back to normal. Some courses it takes 2 weeks. I think just depends on their budget and their, you know, how they operate, that kind of stuff. So you'll learn. The more you play golf this time of year, you'll take a look like, they just aerated. Maybe I should give them 2 weeks and then I'll go schedule. You did it right, but that's the unfortunate part about playing a course in those conditions is the what ifs. And I've even had that at courses I played like 2-3 weeks later where it's not as pronounced, but there's little kind of sand holes around the green a little bit. And it's hard to get a straight true read on your putts.
You don't really have
kind of bounce around a little bit. Yeah. So you just I whenever I play a course in like that shape, I'm a terrible putter to begin with.
Sure, so am I.
I'm just like, just hula hoop it, man. Just get me inside 2 feet and I'm tapping in and I'm just going to the next hole because I know I'm not making many long putts unless I close my eyes and get super lucky.
Okay, last thing. It was just frustrating because I think if I have a true green, I feel like I'm like at the 84 type score. That's how I played really well. Second question, and this is the most pressing one, and you can apply this to anything in sports of which is worse, but particularly in golf, which one is worse to you? Playing 18 with the guy that get est-housed before the round even starts.
Ooh, that's an early start.
And progressively gets worse as the round goes on.
Okay.
Or very, 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 very slow playing guy. Which is the worst to play 18 holes with?
Easy.
And I'm not, look, I know what you're thinking. Oh, drunk guy. I've seen drunk guy. I'm talking
house.
I'm 90% confident does not remember even playing the round.
Wow, he had a good day out in the sun, huh?
It depends how you define good day. I went and defined that as a good day. I defined it as an awful day, but to each their own. I like to have a beverage. I don't like to have 15 beverages.
You maybe had an awful Sunday morning. That could be the case. This is still easy to me. The drunk guy might get a little annoying and he might fall over trying to swing a couple of times. Slow guy drives me nuts. I can't do slow guy.
And we timed it. We videoed him at the tee box of one of the holes because it got so egregious.
You need to throw that on social media and shame him and have it picked up by like Zyra Golf or somebody. That needs to get spread. Slow golfers, we need...
Slow golfer. He had a lot of Zyra Golf moments, by the way. And if you're not following Zyra Golf on Instagram, you're doing Instagram wrong.
It's a great follow.
You know the guy on the tee box hits it, the ball goes immediately a yard to the right and then like 70 yards because he shanked it so hard?
Sure.
I'm talking this guy hit the tee under the ball and the ball just dropped where it was teed up.
Yeah, I'm out, dude. You're a slow player and you're doing that. I am out. Walk up and hit it. It's clearly not helping you taking your time. We need, I think interventions can be good. And in some cases, like with your drug users and alcoholics, right? Interventions can be a positive thing. We need to expand what we do interventions for.
Sports interventions are very important.
We need more interventions. And we need to have the ability to sit somebody like that down and say, it's not your fault. It's okay. You have a problem, though, and your problem is affecting other people, and you need to fix this problem because nobody wants to golf with you. I have one friend who is the slowest. I played golf with him twice in my adult life. He is the slowest golfer known to mankind. He 30 practice swings, lines up his shot.
It's like, in his head.
Just hit the ball.
Yeah.
Won't play. I will not play with him again. It's probably been 6 years since I've golfed with him. And it's like, yeah, dude, I'm not going anywhere near that.
Hopefully he's not listening right now.
That's awful.
I haven't gotten an invite from him in a long time. And now I know why.
I can't do it, man. I can't. I try and take my time and be patient. Sometimes maybe I play too fast, but if you're not a good golfer and you're taking forever to hit every shot, why? Just go ahead.
So can I tell you how long it was? We timed it. So we recorded him going from he walked to the tee box to put the ball down. It took 17 seconds for him to put the ball on the tee itself. He's just bent over. And I don't know if this had to do with him being hammered or
he was drunk and a slow golfer.
Yeah. I mean, it was really that combination.
Yeah.
We clocked him. From the moment he started to the moment he actually swung the club, it was a minute and 24 seconds. And it was every single stroke was that long.
That adds up.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that's not that long. And then you kind of evaluate yourself. I think I take 15, 17 seconds. I take two practice swings. I get comfortable with my hands for a second and I let her rip.
Line up where you want to hit it.
You're only going to be so confident in that shot. So just hit the damn ball. But I think you're right. Sports interventions are important and we have them in every facet. Even if you don't golf, there's that golf guy.
Yeah.
Slow golfer. I think beer league or rec league softball taking it serious.
They need an intervention for sure, man.
They need an intervention. I think basketball shooter at the YMCA, the guy who shoots the majority of the shots but doesn't make them. He's like an Allen Iverson 30% guy.
Yeah, calm down, Carmelo.
He needs an intervention, and there's way too serious, way uber aggressive, making up for something in their manhood. Flag football to and touch bro.
Yeah.
Are we playing tackle on Turkey Day?
No, we're not.
No.
No.
Marvin, we're playing flag football.
I don't know, man. We'll see.
No. And then, like, they grab your flag, but they kind of push you as they grab. And you're like, dude,
no.
I have to go to the chiropractor now. Why did you do that?
I just slipped the disc. What the hell's wrong with you, man?
What is the best sports intervention non-professional person we need to have? Maybe we just bring them in as a group.
I think we need – I would love to expand this outside of sports, too. You go slow drivers in the left lane. Boom, intervention. What's wrong with you? Why are you the way you are? Don't use your turn signal when you change lanes. What's your deal, man?
Let me give you the best one.
Dude, you could go down the list of these.
Merger, slow driver in the left lane. Like, these are awful experiences. I've experienced it twice this weekend. Guy who knows he's in busy parking lot, getting in car and not leaving for 3 minutes
just
or longer as you're sitting there with your blinker on.
Just waiting.
I went to go get food yesterday and there's like 10 spots, one of them in the front row. He loads the car.
Don't mind me.
And he sat in it for 4 minutes. I finally gave up. And as I turned around because the wife got out.
Yeah, he's gone.
He pulls out and I lose the spot. And I went, oh my God, my man.
Yeah, you pull out of that spot, you can be courteous, go to another spot. Jeez. If you need to look at your phone or do whatever you got to do, come on, man, people are waiting.
You got to know, it's the parking spots are a premium. If you're going to get in your car, you got to take your ass out and you got to leave.
Most of us have signed a social contract, but some of us did not sign that contract and they need interventions.
It's very, very true. So sports interventions, maybe that's a theme today. What's the sports intervention you need? Somebody in your life or somebody you've seen that needs a talking to, like, hey, maybe you need to change this about yourself. I think they're all over the place. And I played with really, 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 really drunk guy and slow golfer guy today. He was a combination. 5 hour round. That's what I had.
That's going to add up.
But I had a good day.
Hey, you played great.
Happy Monday to everybody out there. We have a busy, busy show. Did Terry Stotts lose the Blazers? We'll get to that at 7 a.m. Some NFL draft stuff continues to pop up today. We'll talk about that. But we'll start today's show as we do every day with the Morning Crunch. Morning Crunch is next on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Pour the milk.
Looks like me and Vincent caught you boys at breakfast. Did you have it?
Part of a nutritious breakfast?
Hamburgers. Hamburgers. The cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
It's time for the Morning Crunch, a look at the tastiest topics in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
All right, Morning Crunch time here on The Fan. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 a month. Beaverton, Alloa Division, Vancouver. Why would you work out anywhere else? More information out at crunch.com.
Back to Horvat. He's got some room, and he comes with a shot. Scores! Bo Horvat's second of the game in sudden death overtime, and do you think the Vancouver Canucks are happy with that?
Oh, Swigard's Canucks still suck. They're sub-500, but they beat the Maple Leafs, who are having a great year.
They haven't played in a month, man. Take it a little easy on them.
Oh, I'm glad they're back from COVID, but they win. They're 17-18 now. That's a cute little record. Against my Maple Leafs, who are 28-12-5, but the Canucks winning yesterday 3-2 in overtime.
I mean, they have been through a lot. For those who haven't followed this story, they had the variant of the virus, and it ripped through the locker room. It ripped through their families.
Head coach, 24 players and coaches. Right.
Did they figure out how they got that? Did they ever do
it? One guy, like on an offside event, I think I remember reading. Oof. It was, and then it spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
They just had JT Miller, I think last week, had to come out and tell the NHL, like, yo, you're really good at force us to go play right now, and they had to delay the start back a little bit. Like, do we care at all about player safety? It'll be interesting to see how they handle the rest of the season, and they're still without. I think five guys at least are still out, so they're dealing with a ton. It's going to be an uphill battle for the next couple of weeks, but good first win.
I'm glad the Maple Leafs made them feel good and gave them a game.
Could be the final pitch of the day for Shane Bieber. Struck him out looking. A baker's dozen, 13 Ks for Shane Bieber. He goes 8 strong.
Yeah, there's Matt Underwood, Bally Sports, as the Indians win 6-3. And Shane Bieber has been really impressive. Swag, you had some really good stats pre-show. You want to share what Shane Bieber's, the significance of what he's been doing?
Yeah, he is set the record now. Most games with 10 or more strikeouts to start a season with 4. He tied Nolan Ryan's all-time record for most strikeouts at 48 through the first 4 games. He is now 1 off of Randy Johnson's all-time Major League record for the most consecutive games with 8 or more strikeouts.
Wow. Jeez.
Which I think is 17 or 18.
Now, Cleveland 8-7 on the year.
Padres would love to obtain some insurance now. Fam down the left field line. That is into the corner. From third comes Tatis. Here comes Hosmer. To second goes Fam. And it's fantastic. The Padres take a 5-2 lead.
Yeah, there is Jesse Agler of Bally Sports San Diego. The Pods avoid the sweep at the hands of Swag's Dodgers. They win 5-2 yesterday. They're 10-7 on the year. The Dodgers had won 8 in a row.
Yeah.
And they snapped that winning streak for LA, but LA still wins the series. And this one got a little contentious. And I'm looking forward to this kind of battle in the NL West.
It did. It got contentious a few times. It was great to see Fernando Tatis back playing, although it's hard to think that maybe that shoulder still giving him some lingering, you know, issues. He had one home run. Other than that, not a great series at the plate. He had a couple of errors as well. This is the best thing going in baseball right now. And I hope everybody from the East Coast can burrow their heads up from the snow and realize there's great baseball being played on the West Coast. LA and San Diego, it's going to be an awesome competition. I think it's the best thing to happen to the Dodgers because they got somebody that's going to push them all year. The Padres are that good. And if they were just going to coast through 162 games, maybe they'd let up come playoff time. But San Diego is going to be right on their heels all season.
Now, the East Coast people care more about the Yankees sucking than what's going on the West Coast.
Very true. They do.
That'll do it. High fly ball, deep left. Way back, way back. Gone. Two-run homer, tie France. Viva la France.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Dave Sims, Root Sports. Mariners beat the Astros 7-2. They're 10-6.
Excuse me, your first place Seattle Mariners.
First place, thank you.
First place Seattle Mariners.
10-6. They take the series from Houston 2-1. I think Mariner fan is, look, there's a bit of Blazer Mariner fan similarities here.
Well,
I think they're buying in.
Still dealing with some injuries, too. Yeah. Lewis hasn't played yet.
Yes, they are.
They haven't called up a lot of their big prospects yet either. And Paxton's out for the year. Look, it's a really fun start. Enjoy it.
Don't do this.
That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah, there's the guy.
It's a great, they're 10-6. Yep. Enjoy
it. There he is.
Remember, was it 2 years ago that they started like 13-2? Was that two years ago?
People call me Bummer Brandon. I'm going to call you Ugly Andy.
I didn't say anything. I said,
there's
good
Ugly
start.
Andy.
Enjoy it, man. You're winning ballgames.
A meeting of division leaders at T-Mobile Park tonight and tomorrow.
16 games in, seeing people in Seattle tweet, this team's different. They grind. This team is built different.
Good luck against the Dodgers this week.
Gutierrez will take the corner. In towards that back pass to the bullet hammer. Lucas Cavallini has the Whitecaps' first goal of the season.
There's nothing better than having somebody with an accent on the call of a soccer game. TSN there. Vancouver Whitecaps beat the Portland Timbers 1-0. 1-0, I should say.
1-0.
On the pitch.
It's 1-0. Yeah,
nil.
1-0.
Yeah.
I got nothing to add to that one.
Okay. All right.
Was it a bad loss? Good loss?
It was a disappointing game.
Okay.
Timbers had more chances, but they fell asleep again on set pieces.
Left guys unmarked. Mm. What are we doing? You can't unmark guys.
So, yeah.
Come on.
Timbers had 48% of the possession for that game.
Adebayo against Green. 8 seconds. Bam. Facing up. Going to run it down. He goes with it. Adebayo for the win. Oh, count it. Dade County. How do you like Bam, man? What a shot. You don't like those pull-ups, Jimmy Butler? How about now?
Yeah, I've said it before. I've said it twice. I'll say it again. Yet another example of taking Zach Collins instead of Bam Adebayo just rearing its ugly ass head yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Miami's had an up and down year, but Bam has been a bright spot for them. He continues to develop. That was guard-like, his game-winning shot. He finished with 21 points, 15 boards. I'd like to see nothing more than him with CJ and Dame, but we don't have him. Miami does, and they beat the Nets on a walk-off shot yesterday, 109-107.
He also had 5 assists and 2 steals. It's a pretty well-rounded game.
He's lethal defender.
It would be great
But Gonzaga.
No, don't worry. The Blazers got good defenders. Yeah. We don't need that. And I have come to the conclusion, it is a easy decision for me that the team I'm rooting hardest against the rest of the year is Brooklyn. Watching that game winner, it brought me immense joy, and I have no feelings at all for Miami.
You're going against my bet.
Thank you. Watching them lose was great. Durant only played 4 minutes. Did he get hurt again? I know Harden's out. Kyrie didn't have a great night. It felt good watching that last night.
Yeah, Durant did get hurt. That's something that's popping up a little bit.
Hey, sorry, I know it's a different, you know, experience now, but what was it like to finally get to play in the Garden in the pros?
I'm glad you asked that, actually. I mean, New York is the mecca of basketball. I love playing. I love playing here. I played here in college. This is my first time playing here in the pros, and I mean this atmosphere. You know, whether they're cheering for you, whether they're booing for you, it's amazing. Honestly, I think outside of New Orleans, obviously, I think this might be my favorite place to play outside of New Orleans. I can't even lie to you.
Outside of New Orleans, sure.
Oh, my God.
What is New Orleans Arena? The Smoothie King Arena?
Outside of the Smoothie King,
my favorite place is the Mecca of basketball.
Zion Williamson, the Pelicans blow yet another game. I think they've got at least 13 games they've blown. So that kind of gives you an idea of what their season's been. I don't think Zion knew what he did there. And now people are going to run for a week about how he's going to the Knicks in 2 years. Zion Williamson ranting and raving about his love for playing in Madison Square Garden.
He was like blushing when answering that question. Oh, I'm so glad you asked me that. I can't wait to come to New York someday.
You can feel it. New Orleans fans like, no.
No.
We're going to lose Zion, aren't we?
No.
So that's Eric Collins, and I kind of want to interview this guy at some point this year. The Charlotte Hornets beating the Trailblazers rather easily yesterday, dropping a damn near 50. Did they drop 50 in the first quarter?
It was 44.
44. Yeah.
44. Come on now.
Thank you.
Come on now. Only 44.
And they beat the Blazers. So that's Eric Collins of Bally Sports Southwest on the Miles Bridges dunk. Southeast. Sorry. And the Hornets went. If you've not watched Hornets on League Pass, you don't have League Pass, that's fine. He does calls like that for every shot. I've seen them get layups. Terry Rozier will lay the ball, but he goes, oh, it was so filthy.
It's like the Gus Johnson of the NBA.
It's like a WWF broadcast. It's as if every player doing something is throwing another guy through a table.
I'm on board with that.
You're either all in or you hate it. I don't think there's an in-between. It's a Walton-esque thing.
I mean, that dunk was a great highlight. I enjoy it more for watching the lack of defense that Portland played on that possession of Melo kind of moving around and pointing to a non-existent defender to help him out.
CJ jumped and then realized, I'm not blocking, and he faded the jump out.
There was a teal carpet just laid out. For Miles Bridges.
Go dunk. And the only other thought I have on Charlotte, because we'll talk about the Blazers.
We will. Get into that at 7 a.m. The Blazers. Has the head coach lost the team? I think that is a very valid question.
That uni and court combo that they're rocking yesterday, underrated. Underrated.
And some of the best unis in the NBA.
The old school look. I love the honeycomb and the paint on the floor. Yeah. A great look for Charlotte.
It's amazing. All right. There's the Morning Crunch brought to you in the Fan by our good friends out at Crunch Fitness. Multiple locations, as low as $9.95 a month. For more information, visit crunch.com. All right, coming up next, pivot to the NFL. We'll get to the Blazers at 7 a.m. Pivot to the NFL. Some interesting thoughts from one longtime NFL-centric person and what they talked about in the draft. And we'll tell you what they said, and we'll do it next. All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. Good morning. Happy Monday. Hope everybody enjoyed a beautiful weather-wise weekend.
I think we set a record on Saturday, did we not? For the hottest day.
How hot did it get? It felt like it was 80.
I think we got up to 85.
Did it get that? Yeah, I felt that way.
83 I saw, but it did set a record.
Okay. Well, I was out there like at 3, 4 o'clock, so it was at the peak of the heat. It felt warm.
Setting records.
Yesterday was great. Friday was awesome. I went to a beach on Friday, like Savi's Island. Beautiful weather.
Last time we had a weekend with both days in the 80s was August 15th and 16th.
Oof. Felt good. Felt great. The NFL draft is just a little over a week away. It's a week away from Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we talked a lot about the quarterbacks. I wanted to get to this. So Peter King's Monday morning quarterback article that he's done for decades and decades came out, and I read it last night. Gil Brandt, one of the longtime architects of building an NFL championship team. He's well-respected and well-known through NFL circles in his opinion on players in the draft process, his view on what teams are doing. He talked to Gil Brandt about, one, the draft, the quarterbacks, and then also just guys in general. Would you care to know who one of the more successful architects of building NFL franchises has his eye on at a non-quarterback spot? He gave five guys that he sees when he breaks the tape down and he loves them. He thinks they're can't-miss prospects. They're going to have all-pro-type careers, and he won't fault any team for drafting. Would you care to know that list?
I would guess Chase, Pitts, and Sewell would be on that list.
I didn't ask you to guess. I asked if you wanted to know the list.
Sure, I would love to know
the
list.
So way to ruin the GD game.
I'm guessing it's the five guys that are non-quarterbacks that everybody has in the top 10.
Well, I'll give you the first one, and I don't know if you'll know a whole lot about it. Jalen Phillips.
I don't know a lot about Jalen Phillips.
Pass rusher out of Miami. He says he's the guy everybody will be talking about 2 years from now. He's a bit of a medical risk due to concussions, but he has the biggest upside in the draft.
Mm.
You hit on him, and you've got a home run with the bases loaded, a.k.a. Grand Slam.
Okay, I like that, especially if a guy like that's sitting there after the top 10 picks and you could take a flyer. It's similar kind of to a Michael Porter Jr. in the NBA. Yeah. Guy that was around middle of the team, what did they get, 13, 14 overall, whatever it was, and it turned out well for him.
If he didn't have the back stuff, Porter probably would have went first.
Exactly.
Elijah Moore. You familiar with Elijah Moore?
I don't know a lot about Elijah Moore.
This is a name to watch too, because these are the guys that get drafted. We don't talk about them because it's a quarterback, you know, sexy conversation type thing in the draft, and then these guys get picked and you see him playing, you go, oh, similar to what Chase Claypool mm-hmm. was. Elijah Moore is a wideout from Mississippi. He is a 4.35 guy. He is super fast. He thinks he can be better than AJ Brown. Not the same body type, but just better, similar as a guy who was better. He's a better NFL player than he was in college.
Well, they've had a streak of those guys out of Mississippi. You had DK Metcalf, who didn't do a ton in college. You saw the photos of him, and you thought, oh, is that guy actually going to be able to run routes? And he's off to a great start.
Right.
AJ Brown, very similar. He's off to a phenomenal start in Tennessee.
Michael Carter is a running back out of North Carolina. He says he's amazing. He split time at UNC, but he's got a 6.6 yards per carry in his career. And then Pitts, as you mentioned, is the other can't miss for Gilbrandt. And then there you go. Your guy that you mentioned, Penei Sewell, says this is all he says of him. Everybody else, he gives a detailed sentence or two on him. For Penei Sewell, Gilbrandt says, reminds me of Jonathan Ogden.
That's pretty good.
NFL Hall of Fame,
that's
Jonathan Ogden.
That's pretty good. The one thing I will be curious to watch, and I doubt that it affects the top 10, I saw random sources last week, an article that included random sources saying that some NFL teams, not all, but some NFL teams they had heard from, were going to be scared away from guys that sat out for the year.
Yeah, and that's a growing trend in King's article, is there are general managers who basically, they're not saying they're not going to pick guys who sat out a year, but they come out and they say it's a pretty tough thing to gauge and judge. Are they the exact player they were the year prior when they played versus taking the year off and what that did to their body?
And I don't think it was a shot at necessarily anybody in the top 10, because looking at like Sewell's pro day, looked like he was in good shape, moving well, strong. I think all the measurables are where you wanted them to be. But one of the concerns was, they floated, that some of the guys that are showing up to pro days are out of shape. They just haven't been around a team. They haven't been working out as hard. And I think that was the fear for a lot of folks. Like, all right, if you're going to take the year off, you better use it to your advantage.
Swag just hit puberty in our ears. Right, nobody could hear that, but it's like 2 minutes.
He's coughing in my ears. I'm trying to talk here. But I think that the thing was, if you're going to take the year off, you want to take advantage of it and not just kind of sit around and be lazy. And I'm sure there were some players that probably did that. But for Sewell, in his case, I mean, he did take the year off. And you think back, man, how many games did he play as a freshman? 6. He got hurt early in the season against Washington. Didn't return basically until, I want to say, the bowl game that year. So he might have only played 5 or 6 games. And then sophomore year, he played 1 season. And then he's out. I mean, the guy's only got 17 games under his belt in college. So it's not a large sample size. I think the measurables, the tools, the physicality, like all the stuff that he brings is still going to lead him to be a top 10 pick. But there's just not a lot of tape out there on him because he didn't play much college football.
Yeah. On the topic of guys who are sitting out, one coach told Peter King, quote, "I agree wholeheartedly, and I agree about how worried he is about the opt-outs. This year's unprecedented. Yeah. I'm worried about all the things we don't know. We don't really know the prospects personally or medically the way that we should because of all the COVID restrictions and even their workouts. They can't have these private workouts the way they used to." One NFL coach on Penei Sewell said, "If I could pick one player in this draft who's got the best chance to go to the Hall of Fame, it's Penei Sewell. He's my left tackle from day one."
Yeah, and he's going to slip because there's a couple of weapons on the outside.
I disagree. I think he's going 5. I think Cincinnati's going to take him.
I think that would be the smart play for Cincinnati, but I don't know if I'm willing to give Cincinnati the credit of being smart, because you get a Pitts, you get a Chase on the board.
Sure.
And they're both going to be on the board at 5.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you've seen a lot of teams that fall into that trap of saying, we got our quarterback, let's go get him a big-time weapon. And I agree with you. I would rather take the all-pro offensive lineman and just pencil in my left tackle for the next decade, and you can find another tight end or a wide receiver. I think it's more important to protect your quarterback than it is to give him weapons. But if he doesn't go to Cincinnati at five, he could slip a little bit, and maybe teams try and trade up and get him in the back end of the top 10.
I'm just not all the way sold, and I got a couple more things I want to share, but I'm not all the way sold on the idea of taking a wide receiver at five in an NFL draft when you have a potential all-pro left tackle.
Yeah, I'd rather have a left tackle.
Look, what we thought of him versus what has come to light in the last month or two is it felt like this was an Orlando Pace thing. He was the best tackle in the draft, and it's not close. Well, as evaluations and workouts have gone on, you've got the Slater kid from Northwestern who seems to have emerged, and some people think they're neck and neck as the best offensive line prospect. So maybe it's not what we once thought it was. But if you're sitting at Cincinnati, look, Ja'Marr Chase, maybe he is going to be as amazing as they say. Do you need a receiver in Cincinnati? You got T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. You can go get some of these other guys like Rondale Moore later on in the draft. I just don't know if there's real value in drafting a wide receiver at five when you're coming into a season where your quarterback broke his leg because his offensive line couldn't block. There's just inherently more value on taking a left tackle. And if he hits, you have a position you don't worry about for 12 to 15 years, yeah. Basically.
Yeah, and it's the second most important position on the field, I would argue.
Versus receiver. I mean, Larry Fitz's are, they're a blip, man. Yeah. You get these all-pro guys. Like, who knows if Justin Jefferson's going to be a Viking in 5 years? Who knows where these players are going to be at that position? They bounce all the time, even if they're one of the more talented players at their position. You don't see offensive linemen bounce around. And I just think there's more value for I think he's going to go to Cincinnati. I think quarterback. Atlanta's a wild card, but I think if Penei Sewell is there at five, I think he's going to Cincinnati.
I think it'd be the right move for them. We'll see if they do the right thing.
An update on an unknown in the NFL draft, and then we got the Blazers to talk about coming up in the 7 a.m. hour. So don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague, we're back with more on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We got Trailblazers to talk about at 7 a.m. as Terry Stotts lost the team. We'll get into that. Quote of the year comes from Joakim Noah, who years ago once told Brian Scalabrine, quote, "You look like you suck, but you don't suck." There's an article in the New York Times about why amateurs are trash. They always trash Scalabrine and they think they can beat Scalabrine.
Yeah, there was a high school kid recently, a viral video that thought he could beat him one-on-one.
And Scalabrine just killed him.
Yeah.
I thought that was a great quote. We're talking NFL draft right now as we're just a little over a week away. And, you know, Penei Sewell getting rave reviews from a lot of the insiders of football, which is really cool to see because he seems like a great kid. And he didn't have the most games, but, man, the sample size he gave in Eugene was awesome. He's in the Pancake Club. And I'm really curious to see where he'll fall in the draft because this is a quarterback flashy draft that teams are so desperate for that position. I think there's a possibility he lands in a great situation. I think Cincinnati is one of those. Mm-hmm. I don't have a reason to, but I just, you know, I like Burrow's swagger and confidence, and I know he got hurt, and I think Penei Sewell anchoring down the left side of that line for them would be great. On the quarterback position itself, you know, one guy that we haven't talked about, we talked Justin Fields and why does he get trashed. We talked Mac Jones and how is he this high, and Trevor Lawrence, we'll get to that at the Daily Ticker today. Trey Lance is such a relative unknown, and we've said that before. But, man, the closer we get to the draft, the more I'm sitting here going, I don't know how teams can evaluate this kid. And I'm sure they have their ways of doing it.
Right.
Dan Graziano of ESPN said specifically with Trey Lance's workout that the Niners are extremely involved in it, and he's going to work with the quarterback coach and another quarterback coach, and they're going to basically take what Shanahan wants to do, and they're going to implement it within the workout. Now, the Niners have the third pick. I think they're taking Fields, but it's been speculated that Lance could be the wild card here, even over Mac Jones. And Trey Lance continues to, I just, anything about Trey Lance I read because I don't know what to make of him. as a quarterback prospect. He's played one game in 15 months.
Yeah, he had 1 year as a starter, too. It's not like the guy had 2 or 3 years kind of built up before this past season. He had 1 year he was a starter, and then they only played the one game this year.
Yeah, and the one game was just for him. It was a showcase game to allow him to have some tape out there.
And he wasn't great in that game.
Because North Dakota State, I mean, they're a very successful program at their level, but, I mean, it always benefits you as a program to, hey, we can put guys in the NFL.
Yeah, he had a great sophomore season. Hard to actually be any better than he was. He threw 28 touchdowns, no interceptions. He ran for 1,100 yards and another 14 touchdowns. Like, that is absolute dominance, but it's 1 year of dominance at a lower level, and you just don't have anything else to go off of. The one game that they played that you mentioned, he was 15-30, 149 yards, 2 touchdowns and a pick. I'm not going to put too much stock in that because, again, it's one random game. There wasn't much of a lead up to it. They didn't have any warm up games or preseason games or script. You know, they just kind of went out and played, and he didn't play great. But he is the biggest unknown in this entire draft process. And I think I'm fine with the majority of the scouts having him ranked. Of the five guys that get referenced that are going to go likely in the top 10, I have to put him at number 5. And putting him any higher than that, it's not disrespect to Trey Lance. It's just nobody's had a chance to see him. And when he does play, it's against weaker competition. And have to hold that against him.
Yeah, let me push back on you there, though. And there's probably too many quarterbacks I think are going to be good in the league because the metrics just suggest you won't have all five guys be good. And I don't even know if you'll have more than one. It's tough. I don't know anything. What I know about him is he's got this label as he doesn't turn the ball over, which is a great label to have. But why should we kind of knock him down a peg from the amount of games he's given us versus like what Mac Jones did? Because Jones did it at a higher level. I can't refute it. He played against tougher competition. I can't refute it. But is a one season sample size much different than what Trey Lance has kind of given us tape-wise? I don't know if I can believe Mac Jones is going to throw 75% in the NFL and have one of the best deep ball throws in the league. Trey Lance has one good season with a one showcase game. I view them as the same to me. And if you're making me pick, I might even lean just taking the more athletic kid who might not turn the ball over versus accurate kid who's a little less athletic in Mac Jones. I don't know what to make of both of them. And I don't know if it's fair to say Trey Lance didn't do this versus comparing it to what Mac Jones did or did not give us.
Yeah, I would have him. To me, it's not just the one season and the small sample size. It's more that combined with the fact that they didn't. I mean, you're playing at a lower level. And whether, you know, everybody's going to point to the one or two anomalies that make it from that level and say, see, well, this guy did it or that guy did it. But I had the same concerns about Carson Wentz coming out, taking a guy that just didn't play that steep of competition. And he had the one great year, a couple of okay years. And we'll see where his career goes from here. But it has been very rocky, to say the least, at this point, primarily because he can't stay healthy. I would take the small sample size of a bigger school over the small sample size at a smaller school. The intrigue of Trey Lance is his athletic ability. He's 6'4", he's 220, he can run. He's more physical, I would say, than a Zach Wilson or a Mac Jones. So I like that idea of him. But when you've only played one season of college football, it's a lower level, and it wasn't this last season. At least Zach Wilson did it last year. Mac Jones did it last year. We're talking about 2019 with Trey Lance, and I feel bad for him because it's not his fault, and he would have had chances in big showcase games like against Oregon early in the season in an alternate universe that COVID didn't exist. But the fact that we haven't seen the guy play football, I'm not wasting a top five pick on that. To me, that is a huge reach on a guy like Trey Lance.
Well, we'll see what happens. He's got his workout coming, and he is obviously one of those quarterbacks that he's either going to fall to somebody or a team is going to surprise everybody and draft him either as a project or thinking he can start right away. So the NFL draft is continuing to build more and more. I'm obsessed with it. I've read so many pieces about this draft and just so interested to see where these teams go because general manager jobs are on the line with these picks. You take Trey Lance, for example, he doesn't pan out. Good luck explaining that one.
Yeah.
All right. Hour two. You ready to get to it?
Sure, let's do it.
Has Terry Stotts lost the Portland Trailblazers? Are they tuning him out? We're kicking off hour two with that on the Odyssey app and 1080 The Fan.